Hello, Kansas City. Welcome to Every Woman. This is Christina Frazier, and I am joined in the studio by my co-hosts, Fiona Nowling. Hello. And her lovely wife, Una Nowling.
Hello. Say hello again, Fiona.
Hello again, Fiona.
And on this beautiful day, we have a full house of guests with Dirty Girl Adventures. And the funny thing is, when I say Dirty Girl Adventures, everybody thinks, what? But we're talking about the outdoors today and how the outdoors inspires and empowers women and what it means to be connected to the outdoors. And we're joined in the studio with guest Denise Selby Koch and her husband Marcus Koch and Julie Justice. And then joining us a little bit later in the program on the line, we have Shelby Libby and Lorraine Lecht Gillanon. I'm not sure if I said that right, but Lorraine?
Lecht Gillanon.
Lecht Gillanon. I didn't say that right. So there you go. But so Denise started Dirty Girl Adventures, and that is a company that believes in getting women and everybody out, getting them more familiar with the outdoors. And so, Denise, I wanted to start with go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Topeka and grew up in the country outside of town, living on about 3 acres of land and playing outside a lot.
So the outdoors was something that you were connected to from the beginning?
Yes. My mom and dad encouraged my brother and I to do a lot of outdoor activities. We participated in 4-H and had clubhouses in the woods and along the pasture. So we just went outside a lot.
And so why did you decide to start your business? You know, in Colorado, there's a lot of different adventure companies and other places, but not so much in Kansas.
So I kind of have a story that I share regularly about this. I have long been an outdoorsy person, and where I live near in Jefferson County, Kansas, around Lake Perry, there are a lot of trails. So I would get out on the trails and go hiking, but I didn't have very many people who would go with me. And I was the mom, so when you're middle school age kid is supposed to get out of sports practice, they are always like, be on time. But sports practice never ends on time. So all the moms or dads who are picking up the kids are sort of standing around the parking lot waiting. So I'd be the mom who'd roll up with a screech of tires at the last possible second, and I'd hop out and I'd be kind of muddy, or I'd have stick tights on me or stickers, you know, sticks in my hair. And people were like, where were you? What were you doing? And then I was on the trail. And they all asked, well, what trail? There's a 30-mile trail 10 minutes from here. So nobody really knew that. So I started more and more trying to take people outside. I'm a social worker by trade, and so I'm all about empowering and encouraging. And so I started taking people outside. One Saturday, I'm paddling down the river in our kayaks. We were on the Kansas River with my good friends. Julie, who's here with us today, is one of them. And we were just paddling along, and I'm like, man, I want to do something different. I don't really want to be a personal trainer, but I want to have it be about empowerment and fitness and nutrition. I want to share this with people. And so kind of that conversation evolved to be, I'll start an outdoor adventure business and teach people they can adventure right here, right where you are. And so, bam, I practiced on some friends and learned how to slow down and teach people to, you know, the things to do. And so by fall of 2014, I was sort of practicing taking some friends and convincing people to go outside. And I filed to have an LLC in January of 2014, and so we are getting ready for our fifth year of adventure and taking people outside. We kind of created the vision of this is of the Dirty Girl Adventures is to encourage, empower, and motivate people of all ages and abilities to explore their full potential through outdoor adventure and connection with a community that promotes whole health. So really, it's about getting outside, but it's also about connecting up with other people who like and enjoy the same thing.
So, Julie, were you also outdoor? Were you hanging out in the outdoors, or were you kind of a sidekick to Denise?
When she met me, I was an indoor person, although I think I had lost that desire to be outdoors, because I was as a child.
It makes me think of a cat. Like, I was an indoor cat, I was wild.
My backstory is I grew up in California near the coast, so the temperature was pretty consistent year-round, so I was outdoor all the time. And I moved to Kansas, and I thought, oh, this is different. The bugs, the heat, the cold, all that kept me indoors, and I really thought I couldn't enjoy nature like I did back home. I really lost connection.
So
completely.
Through peer pressure, she became interested in going outside.
I met this woman. Yes, I was one of the mothers with the child at the games, and and I would question. She basically took me to the trail that I didn't know was there and forced me to that was a hard word, but I was...
The first hike, Julie's like, I am really sweaty and I have spider webs on me.
Yeah, yes, thank God you're tall.
And then later she was like, I want to go again.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see positive peer pressure.
There we go. Positive peer pressure. And it kind of just started a friendship here, too. And then, eventually we got on the water. We got our kayaks together, actually.
Yeah.
That was kind of a good...
Our first personal purchase of outdoor adventure equipment was together.
Yeah.
For Julie's birthday is in September, and mine's in October.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you bought a kayak? Uh-huh.
We each bought... So we went to buy one for her. And they were super on sale. And so then I called my husband. I'm like, I think I need my early birthday present because it's on sale.
Yeah. So we went back and
bought a second kayak.
Had you kayaked before?
No. I was...
Because kayaking is very different than canoeing.
Well, I say we had canoed.
We canoed.
Because when you kayak, you're committed because you're sucked into you're sewed in. And
With the advent of more and more outdoor adventure and outdoor recreation things, more and more kayaks are recreational kayaks. So you're actually not sewn in.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Super open.
Oh.
You do not have to roll, which is good because Kansas does not have any whitewater, right?
Right.
So our kayaks are open cockpit kayaks. You can actually put your feet. We kayak a lot with our feet on top of the kayaks, kind of lounging back. You're not super committed. And the reason I love kayaks more than canoes, not that I don't love Marcus, but when you are in a canoe, you generally have to coordinate with someone else on the paddling. So that's harder. Also, when you're in a canoe, the bottom of the canoe is on the top of the water, and the seat is about 10 inches above that, and then your butt's on the seat. So your center of gravity is more difficult to maintain balance. You're more likely to tip. In the kayak, your butt's on the water pretty much, you know? You're just really close, so it feels like you're really steady and stable, especially in flat-bottomed recreation kayaks.
That's what I was going to ask. I actually wanted to know what the difference was between a kayak and a canoe, because when I was in guides years ago in England, we went out and I didn't know whether they were kayaks or canoes, and the first thing they taught us was how to tip over and how to get back up and not drown.
Yeah, so the best part about recreational kayaks are that they're very difficult to tip, and they're really stable. They aren't built for speed. They aren't built necessarily for long distance overnight. You know, we do camp on the river, but they're really just for comfort, to get you out on the water, so they are much more stable and safe. So we bought ours... our kayaks together, and after that, of course, exponentially that grew, and so soon more friends had kayaks, and the first year of Dirty Girl Adventures, nobody had kayaks, so we bought as soon as I could make enough money to buy another kayak, I built the fleet, but now a large number of our participants own their own kayaks, and we bought a bus, and that helps us get on the river so we can do that shuttle piece.
So, yeah, that's always the tricky thing.
Yeah, that's actually
about,
super hard.
You know, any canoeing or kayaking is getting from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Also, just for, going back to women, with a lot of women are also weak in their upper bodies, so that probably helps with that also.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty effort. I mean, you don't realize that you're working that out because you're looking around and having fun.
The thing that I always tell people when we're out is, when they start telling me that their arms are sore, like, it's okay to put your paddle down. Okay, because part of why we're out there is to just relax and refresh and do that connection piece. So it's not a race. Although many of us have participated in various outdoor races, Dirty Girl Adventures doesn't race. There's no dirty girl left behind, as we say. But so if you're tired, you rest. And we always run with a person at the lead and a person at the tail. Sweep. So we have a sweep to catch you. So if, and I often tow people, or
I
actually
totally
hopefully not
sweep
as often as possible.
But you're right now.
But so, I'm normally the sweep.
Yeah, Julie's the sweep. I'm the lead. But so, you know, we do try to meet different people's needs just because we're all different. And it's okay if you're not strong enough today. We do a lot of kayaking on the lake, so you can build some strength. But you can also put your feet on your dashboard and lean back and, you know, sip the wine and chat with your friend. You don't have to race.
What is the minimum age that you would let someone go on this sort of journey with you?
So we actually serve not just women, and we serve children's groups. So I've taken numerous 4-H groups, Girl Scout groups out. 7 or 8. We have a couple of tandem kayaks, so you can have an adult and a young kid. But you'd be surprised. A pretty active 9 to 12-year-old can paddle themselves in a short recreational kayak. On the river, when you're going to go like 10 miles, we probably want them to be 12 or up, because then I'm for sure going to tow them if they're not. But so on the lake, you can always get off the lake. So it works.
So what, you know, when people are in California or Colorado, there's a, not only, I think it's easier to appreciate the landscape there. Mm-hmm. And also there's a lot more infrastructure and more people actually doing outdoor things there. So why do you think that's not the case in Kansas and in Missouri? Well, I guess mostly Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say California. The weather mainly is our hindrance. But I've learned to embrace the weather, and the different seasons are absolutely beautiful. There are some beautiful, beautiful countryside in this part of the country that most people like me who would have stayed indoors would never have seen, or except through photographs or something like that. But to experience it and see the wildlife and the trees,
and all
the creation that is here. I mean, the sunsets, of course, are absolutely beautiful. And to be on the lake and see the sunset, and here you got bald eagles flying over you. I mean, there's nothing to capture that spiritually.
Right. All of that is true, but I think the other piece that's important is that we have to adventure where we are. Sure, I'd love to go on a hike in Colorado, but I can't do that every weekend or every day.
Right.
I can't afford that. I need to go where I am. So Kansas offers beautiful, beautiful scenery.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and before I moved over here, I thought Kansas was totally and utterly flat and probably had no trees and probably sort of like 30s Dust Bowl stuff rather than modern.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've had people hiking before. You know, I'm always trying to make sure that they're getting that description. And they're like, I just didn't know Kansas was like this. And I'm like, well, yeah, this is beautiful.
Well, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk a little bit more about the outdoors. And here's a message.
Support for KKFI comes from Californos, celebrating 30 years of serving Kansas City on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. March 17, 1988, the Burns family opened Californos' doors to the public. During 3 decades of business, Californos has been supporting local organizations and musicians and are extending an invitation to a family-friendly day of revelry and bohemian pleasures. Californos, celebrating 30 years on St. Patrick's Day with a full day of music beginning at 11 a.m. and Irish buffet at 2 p.m. All info at californos.com.
Women in Science and Astronomy on Exploration, Monday morning from 5 to 6.
We're back, and this is Every Woman, and we are talking to Denise Selby Koch and her husband Marcus Koch and Julie Justice. And we also have a few people on the phone lines that we're going to connect with a little bit later in the show. And we're talking about the outdoors today, and we were discussing the landscape in Kansas. And somebody asked a question, where do you go for your adventures?
That's a great question, actually. We often go to Lake Perry just because it's close to my house. And there are a lot of trails there that we can access. We also paddle in Lawrence area at Lake Clinton and use the trails there. And then we have paddled on the Kansas River with Dirty Girl customers, ranging from Manhattan all the way down to DeSoto. So we'll do sections of the river, and we use the dirty bus to get us there. Sometimes we do overnights on the river, and we go camping as well. So we kind of try to stay close to home, I'd say. Our home base is Jefferson County.
You see, I'd actually feel safe about going down the Kansas River because there's large swaths of it where if you fall out, it's basically up to your knees.
Yeah, you can stand up. Yes, exactly. Although it's always surprising to me the people who say, I'm terrified of the river. I'll never go on the river. The river's awesome.
Well, you could bump your head. I mean, you can drown in 6 inches of water.
That's true. You're right. The river is my favorite in part because you can stand up. The sandbars are full of interesting things, from fossils to old pieces of glass. And I'm not talking like trash from last week, but, you know, I've found bottles that I've dated from the 1800s that I found on the sandbars. It's kind of cool.
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah. What about wild turkeys?
Yes. Oh, see, I
love wild turkeys.
She's got a good story.
It is one of my favorite all-time adventure stories. So one Saturday, we're paddling from Kansas, from Manhattan towards St. George, and I'm in the lead with about 45 kayakers behind me, and I'm talking to a girl, and all of a sudden from the bank, we hear this sort of flutter and plump. I'm like, what on earth was that? The bank was high. And so we sort of paddle that direction. And as we start to see what it is, we can see a turkey neck. And you know how turkeys walk with the strutting? And it's a turkey in the water. And it's swimming. And right behind it is a dog. And so you can see the turkey's neck doing that turkey neck thing where its beak pokes out and its body catches up. And there's a dog very excitedly chasing it. But meanwhile, they're floating downriver. It was a kind of high water day, so there was good flow. And we're like, oh, my gosh, we better help them. They're going to be, you know, lost. They're in the middle of the river. So Stacy, I think, paddles over, and she sort of separates the dog away from the turkey and pushes him back to shore. Well, that leaves me in the middle of the river with this turkey. And turkeys are big. If you've never actually seen a wild turkey, they're pretty large. And I'm afraid. They have spurs and they have sharp beaks. So I reach down and I try to help it because they also don't have webbed feet. So, but when you push a ball that's floating down the river, the ball just sort of bobs down and bobs back up. It doesn't help. So finally I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick it up. So I reach over out of my kayak and I lift this turkey. And it's big enough. It's like a 25, 30-pound turkey. It was big. And I kind of hold its feet up and it doesn't peck me or fight me. And it's kind of happy. But then I can't paddle. So then a couple of the other dirty girls have to connect up to me to tow me. And we're aiming for the shore. Well, of course, that's uncoordinated, right? And meanwhile, my arm and my lean to the right is getting tired. So I'm like, okay. I'm thinking out in my head. I'm like, all right. I'm going to pick it up. And if it pokes me in the eye, I've got my sunglasses on. If it spurs me, I'm just going to let it go. And so I pick it up and I sit him in my lap. And he sat in my lap and there was this shudder like, oh, thank you. And happily, Judy Bailey had her camera with her. So she took the world's best ever turkey picture. He actually like had his head laying on my left shoulder like, oh, it was so relaxed. Oh, and it was a big turkey. Like it had a 6-inch beard. It was a big turkey.
Yeah.
She then, he kind of started feeling more refreshed. So the next picture is of him looking over my shoulder at her like, what are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? So we made it to shore and I set him on shore and he fluffed up his wings and made it to the top. So it was just the coolest. I mean, I'm all for I'm okay with hunting, and I do love turkey. But you can't let it, it's not sporting to let it die in the river with 40 women looking on as it drowns. So it was the most random thing that's ever happened to me on the river.
That's a very cool story, but given what you just said about finding bottles and then she asked about wild turkey, I think it's going to be a very different story.
Good lead in.
Well, I know somebody who was on the river, and I know that the turkeys roost kind of in low trees.
Yeah.
And so I just figured you had some encounter, but I didn't know about that story. That's a great story.
I think the turkey, you know, it takes turkeys a while to get enough speed to take off. So I feel like he was running from the dog and then didn't maybe realize that he was about to go over the cliff. He just couldn't catch enough air to keep flying. So it was a fun day. It's always a fun day on the river. So.
What other wildlife do you typically encounter?
Well, recently, the bald eagles. Dirty Girl Adventures does a yearly hike, and it's basically all called the Eagle Hike, and it's in February. We usually hike to close by to one of the nests that are located on Perry Lake to observe, and it's usually very cold out, but we always enjoy the view.
Yeah, and we get the chance to see eagles. Eagles nest and lay their eggs in January and February. So once the eggs are in the nest, there's one or the other adult is within 200 feet of the nest at all times, or so they say. So we almost always see eagles, and that's pretty awesome.
And the eagle nests are very large, too.
Oh, huge, yes.
So, I mean, just seeing the nest, even if you don't see the bird, is pretty amazing.
Think of, on average, they're about 8 feet in diameter. Also, eagles like to go back to that same nest to lay their eggs annually, so they add to it, so they sort of get bigger and bigger over time.
I've been to lots of places on the river where the signs saying you can see bald eagles in the winter and yet never ever seen one. So that would be very
they're
cool
there.
Knowing where to
in
go.
In Lawrence.
Find
you need to come to Lawrence. Yeah. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Sounds
and
like
there are several
invite.
Times. You can see eagles all year round, especially going paddling down the river. A lot of times we do see them just because, you know, they're out there. They like those shallow sandbars along the way as well.
And wasn't one of the cities called Bald Eagle, Kansas, Lecompton,
originally,
maybe?
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people don't realize that we've always had a lot of bald eagles in this area, in Kansas anyway.
Yeah. They're great. We also see, obviously, a lot of deer. We've seen beaver on the river, muskrat on the river. We've seen Lorraine and I, actually, Lorraine's on the phone. We were hiking together, and as we came up over a hill, we saw two young foxes playing, and they were like playing tag, and as they saw us, they froze and looked at us and ran away. So it's just great to see all the things that are out there.
Well, maybe with that, we should bring Lorraine into the conversation.
Hello.
Lorraine, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you saw foxes playing on the river. How long have you been with the Dirty Girl, I guess I should say?
ever since Denise started the club, I think I've missed just the beginning hikes. So this is my fifth year.
Oh.
Right?
Yep.
And so what does, were you kind of somebody who didn't go out very much until you met Denise?
No, I was pretty much a homebody. I didn't have any friends that went outside, so I didn't know anybody until a good friend of mine, she's the one that told me about it. And she's like, you got to go. It's a lot of fun. And just come and try it. And instead of trying it, I just automatically just signed up and to be in the club. And I said, I'm just going to do it. It's because it sounded a lot of fun.
So, Lorraine, tell a little bit about how your life has changed over the last 4 years. Because I guess in knowing you, I've observed that you've really changed that homebody way of living. And you're doing other things.
Yeah. Since I've met Denise and joined the club, I really didn't get out much. I'm a very shy person, so I didn't know a lot of people. But since this club, I've met so much wonderful people that I'm always looking for the next adventure. So I'm constantly planning the next adventure that anyone wants to go on. Either we go to a location and backpack for a few days, or we camp on the river, just trying to get outside and getting people together. It just makes me so much happier on the inside, and it reflects in my daily life.
So I noticed that you have hiked Pike's Peak a few times. So did joining the club and kind of inspire you? Were you not in shape and you got in shape, or have you always been in shape? Or
I've always been pretty much in shape as far as when you go to the gym and you work out, but never outside shape. And when we hiked Pike's Peak, I never really thought of not being in shape. But that does take a toll in a different way.
It was hard.
It's more of a breathing and versus the actual physical part. Mm-hmm. It was hard. So it didn't dawn on me that it's just a hike. You're just going to hike. You know, you're just going to hike 14 miles uphill. You know, mm-hmm. Didn't really think that it was going to be what it was.
Sometimes I think that's the best, is if you don't know the whole details, you just go in there and you're in the middle of it when you realize this is really hard.
But it's something that I accomplished twice, and I'll always remember that. And, I mean, to feel that accomplishment that I did it, you know, it's so rewarding to myself.
I think the piece that I would add is that, you know, part of the whole Dirty Girl vision is not just to get people outside, but to connect them to nature and to themselves, which Lorraine talked about. But also know that once that connection is made, Lorraine is the one who encouraged more Dirty Girls to go hike Pike's Peak. So she went the first time with just four other friends. And the second time, she's like, all right, let's go again. And 22 people signed up and went. And that connection piece, you know, they're encouraging each other. They don't even need me as much anymore, because now that they know each other, off they go.
I think one really important aspect of this is that it seems like this, like your organization and the efforts that you do really fill a gap that's been left behind by kind of the decline of the Girl Scout organizations, because not only has the number of girls that are in Scouts been declining over the years, but the amount of outdoor activities that they do have been severely curtailed. I have spoken to troop leaders that say in several years they have never done an outdoor activity. The most that they did is they've done camping in a school gymnasium with fake fires and so forth. And
or the mall. That's actually worse than the school.
That's awful. Even in Brownies, we camped outdoors. And that's younger than guides.
Well, that was England. There's nothing dangerous in England.
We have snakes and English people.
I think, too, the other piece, I think there has been a decline, not just in Girl Scouts, but honestly, think about our society. We are so tuned into technology and being busy and taking care of, you know, making, I don't know, striving is what I call it. Not that I'm against striving. Obviously, I run a business and have a job. Striving is great. But when it takes the toll on your ability to connect with yourself and with nature, it's maybe not worth it. And I guess I feel like as we age, somewhere in middle school, we start really working for being on a sports team, being successful academically, or, you know, striving already into school, and we don't go outside to play. So we as adults, we are lost from that. And it's amazing how people still love it. People will say to me, I used to love playing outside, and I don't know why I stopped. This is so great. I want to go being in the timber, being on the river, being on the lake. I used to do that, and I don't know why I stopped.
Sometimes after I go out to eat, there's a trail nearby, and I'll take a little walk down the trail, and there's kids' playgrounds, and I go and play on the playgrounds, even at my age. And my friends tend to cover their eyes and look embarrassed, but some of them come join me, too.
Yeah, I have been very interested in how when people are at their rock bottom, they tend to sort of instinctually go to nature. Like, you know, of course, we all know Wild and Cheryl Strayed. And there are other instances of that, too. There was the movie that was called The Way, where there's this hike in Europe, I think through Spain and some other countries. And the whole point is that to to reconnect with yourself and to just sort of like kind of recalibrate, you go on a walk or you connect with nature. It's not just the walking, it's just actual physically being outside, and your only job is to be outside and to sleep outside. And so I've found that that's kind of an interesting, you know, something interesting that I've noticed that, that people do. What is your, how do you feel about environmentalism and what you, and what you do?
I guess I would say two things. Environmentalism will be number two. The first one is that piece about connecting. As a social worker, honestly, I'm social working these dirty girls all without their knowledge, right? Because there's research that tells us that connection with nature decreases stress, it decreases anxiety, and it decreases depression. It is research-based truth. So whether you're in super great shape and you're ready to go on a 30-mile hike, or whether you really are in the best shape to sit on a bench and listen to the bird song, either one of those will be good for you. And when you can find that peace and connection with nature, you are more able to connect with other people. And that's where that you can build relationships when you're calm and when you're not overstressed. Environmentalism, if we don't take care of it, we're going to lose it. Two of the things that we, honestly, as Dirty Girl Adventures has, I would say, blessed me to be able to support two causes that I love, the Kansas Trails Council and the Friends of the Kaw. And both of those are nonprofits, and we donate through the generosity of our participants to both of those agencies or groups to maintain both environmentally sound procedures and to create a way for nature to be a little bit more accessible for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't know that in the old days, they would use the river almost like a trash heap, and they would throw dead animals and all kinds of things in the river. And
yeah,
so
tires, the tire place has been cleaned up. Yeah. The Kansas River Keeper, we're one of the lucky states. We actually have a river keeper. Kansas River is part of the National Trails Council, and Dawn Bueller is the river keeper. Her job is to take care of, promote, educate, and in general inform people about the Kansas River and its needs environmentally.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye to you today so that we can get Shelby on, but thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, Lo.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, Lorraine.
We're going to bring on Shelby Libby.
It's actually Shelly Libby.
Shelly Libby. I can't even read.
Sorry.
Maybe I need readers, I think. I'm sorry. So, Shelly, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm good. And don't worry about my name. I'm the last of six kids, so I've gotten called everything.
Maybe I need readers. I've been really bad today, so I don't know. So tell us a little bit about your connection with the outdoors before and after you met Denise.
Okay, well, before, I'd say I grew up on a farm with my grandparents, and like I said, I come from a large family, and cousins around, all six of us just kind of ran all over the place and was and outside all the time. You know, it was back in the 70s, so nobody stayed inside and watched TV then. But, and then as I married, had kids, you know, we would go camping. We go camping on the holidays, but that's really about it. Other times outside was just working in the yard, doing gardening, that kind of stuff. So I never really planned outside adventures, but I was always kind of looking for something to do too. So when Denise came along, I was on the very first hike with her, that 8 miler 4 years ago, and it was
in March.
Bitter cold.
I think it was 13 degrees, Shelley.
Yeah, but it was fun. I mean, I didn't have the clothes to wear. I put on a couple layers of what I had and made do. So, and it was fun, and I was pretty hooked after that. I remember we went to, we had dinner afterwards, and, you know, she was telling us what her plans were, and I think she had me when she said, and later we're going to kayak. So I'm like, all right, I'll got to work on those arms so I can do the kayak thing too. So it's been great ever since.
So do you do adventures outside of the area also?
A little bit. Yeah, I was kind of itching to get away, and I did the Pikes Peak Adventure with everybody last year.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I went with my sister. She lives in Idaho, my sister and her husband and my husband and I. We drove over to Montana, and there's an outdoor adventure out there, Zoo Surfers, and they have a Girls on the Gorge women's only kayaking extravaganza. And it's 2.5 days of adventuring on the Clark Fork River. It's near Missoula, and I don't know how to whitewater kayak, and it's really hard.
it's not a skill you need in Kansas.
Like Denise is saying, we do the recreational thing, and we float, soak in the sun, and paddle hard when we have to, but whitewater kayaking is a whole lot different. So I learned a lot. Learned a whole lot. I didn't tip over. That was my main goal. I made that happen, but it was a whole lot of fun. Montana is a great place. We also visited Glacier National Park, and being a Kansas girl, I don't see those colors here. You know, it was great. The water was beautiful, a beautiful crystal blue, and everything was, it was really nice weather, nice flowers. It was great.
Do you think you would have done that had you not gotten started in Kansas?
Probably not, because my life before Dirty Girls, my youngest had just graduated from school. So, you know, we were down that road to empty nesters, and I would have probably did some more outdoor stuff with my husband, but no, not picked up and planned big adventures like that, because I didn't know that I wanted to. Now I know I want to. And I want to do a lot of it.
You know, the comment about tipping over made me wonder, and this is going to sound like a really silly question, but do you have to know how to swim to join an adventure like this, or can you get by with wearing a suitable life preserver?
Right. When we take people out, everybody, we provide all the equipment, and everybody does have a life jacket, and we wear them on the river and the lake. I think the other thing to mention, as Shelley and Lorraine have both talked, is to know that both Shelley and Lorraine have been physically fit prior to their involvement with Dirty Girl Adventures, but we do work to get everybody out. So like you mentioned, you've had fibromyalgia. We take people at all levels of physical ability out. It just depends how far we take you or how hard we make you work when you're out there, because our goal is to get everybody out at the level that they can participate.
So you can work with people that are handicapped or partially handicapped.
Yes, or people who are pretty, I mean, hiking is hard for people who are out of shape, but we can do some outdoor stuff in a place where there is a trail. Kayaking is also hard, but you can float in a kayak on the lake and see nature without going very far from shore. And we can help you get in and out of the kayak.
Well, that's a great segue to get Melissa on the line. So, Shelley, we're going to say goodbye to you, but thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Shelley.
Bye, Shelley. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, Melissa, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. It's going to take about another minute or so.
Okay, well, we'll get her on here pretty quick. So I had a few nuts and bolts questions. So what is the one or two things that somebody would need when they first start going into the outdoors?
Bug spray. So actually, we are not all about gear. So people ask us about gear a lot. I feel like the thing you need most are really good shoes that are comfortable for you, and water and bug spray. Even for kayaking, we do ask that people wear shoes, at least for the getting in and getting out part. But really, if you're going to take a walk outside, whether you're going to run, walk, or hike up and down big hills, you need some shoes that are good for you. Some people love hiking boots. Some people just like good shoes. And you always need to have water and bug spray if it's warm at all.
I've had a lot of issues with autoimmune stuff, and I'm very particular.
Yes.
And that is one product that's not a that doesn't have any deed in it or whatever, but it actually works, you know. Yeah. You know, it's sometimes things that are natural, they don't work and you find out later. But that, so in other words, there are other products out there like that have Picard in and things.
Definitely.
Work.
The other thing that we use a lot, we actually have people use Sawyer's permethrin and spray their gear. So when you, like when I wear my hiking pants, I treat my pants and my shirt and my socks and boots with Sawyer's permethrin, as, and I also treat my tent, and that helps repel bugs. But I do know people who have had Rocky Mountain spotted fever and who have had Lyme disease, so we definitely need to take those precautions.
But you can still get out even without fear if you just take a few precautions.
Yep.
I've sprayed bug spray on myself just going out in our back garden here in Kansas, and the stuff has still been wet, and I have watched a mosquito come in and land straight on a pool of the damn stuff and bite straight through it.
That's wonderful. So it smells good, too?
Well, they can smell me coming. I know they can.
Like, do they still come? Then that means it smells good.
It smells really good.
Well, I think we have Melissa on the line now. And so what we were talking about before was how people of all different, you know, whether you have fibromyalgia, whether you are fit or you're not, or you have different issues, you can still get outdoors and still exercise. So, Melissa, do you have a story to tell us about yourself?
Yeah, about a year ago, well, this is my third year as a dirty girl, and I was in the morbidly obese range. I had a BMI of about 42, and, you know, I've always loved to hike and, you know, get outdoors, and what I love about the dirty girls is it's no dirty girl left behind. But I was always in the back of the pack hiking. I would fall into my kayak. I would fall out, and almost a year ago in May, I made the decision to take some steps to get healthy because of all the encouragement of the dirty girls. And I am now, I've lost about 80 pounds since May. Don't mind saying I had weight loss surgery that, you know, I've tried dieting, exercise, and it just never did it for me. But it's been because of the dirty girls that I've wanted to take this step. And, you know, I've gone from, you know, a 3 to 4 mile hike being exhausting to doing an 8 to 10 miler and not thinking twice about it. And, yeah, I like the fact that when we hike, you know, you have your fast group up in the front, you have your middle group, and for the longest time I was in the back, and that was okay. But it just encouraged me and made me want to work harder and made me get more fit. And it's totally changed my life.
That's awesome. And it's also just a completely different environment than a gym situation.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I just posted on our page, I'm going to be out hiking tomorrow. A lot of times, you know, we'll post, hey, you know, I'm going to be at this location at this time. You may be by yourself. You may have 10 people show up.
Yeah, that's one of the connection pieces with Dirty Girl Adventures. We offer a club option so people can choose to join the club. It's an annual membership, and we have a secret Facebook page where it kind of works as a meetup opportunity. So like Melissa said, she'll say, hey, I'm hiking at this location at this time, or we have a group in Topeka. They meet after work on Tuesdays at 5:30 to kayak during the season. So that connection is able to be made over social media.
Mm-hmm. So Melissa, and also I think a lot of people don't know too, with weight loss surgery, you typically have to lose weight before you can have the surgery. And that can be very stressful and daunting because you're thinking, I can't lose weight. That's why I'm having the surgery. But it sounds like with something like going outside, it just is not like a task. It's almost like it's just something you're doing that's fun.
Exactly. It is. It's, you know, I am not a gym rat. You know, if you tell me I have to spend 45 minutes in the gym, I'm going to look at you and make 15 excuses. You say, hey, let's go hike 6 miles. I'm there.
That's awesome.
It's just, it's very, almost meditative. I try to get in during the week. I try to get in a quick 3 mile hike at least once a week after work. And, you know, I'm by myself and it's just so peaceful. And I really focus on being present in the moment. And that's one thing that Denise has really taught us, is to be very mindful and be present in the moment where you're at. And, you know, you just, I'm not competing with anybody. I'm not looking at all these other hard bodies in the gym. It's just me and the woods and the deer and the eagles and the hawks and the squirrels and all that kind of great stuff. And it doesn't feel like work. It's fun. And I never would have been motivated to do this had it not been for the Dirty Girls. I mean, they've literally changed my life. And I've told Denise this. This is, you know, no secret. I'm not saying this just because she's on the phone. It has been a life changer for me. And I love it. I love the camaraderie we get. Everybody is so supportive in everything that we do. And if we're going through a tragedy, everybody supports. It's an amazing group of women, and it gets you motivated to get out there and get healthy.
Mm-hmm. And how has going outside changed or impacted how you feel about the state you live in?
Oh, my gosh. We are Kansas transplants. My husband retired from the military, and I had no idea the beauty that we have right here in Kansas. I'm from Arkansas originally. We've lived in the southeast, so, you know, I'm used to some pretty beautiful sights, and I had no idea how gorgeous Kansas was. It's awe-inspiring.
That's great.
That's awesome. True story.
Well, I'd really like to do this and look for fossils in old glass bottles. I know that sounds kind of geeky, but I am a scientist. So.
Yeah, I get accused of being a nature nerd regularly because I also really love fungus and lichen and moss. Yeah, and fossils.
I can take hundreds of photos of a decent patch of mushrooms or something.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know my friends get tired of seeing pictures of the fungus and the lichens when I'm hiking, but that's what's cool. That's what's growing out there.
Well, lichen's really important. It's a key indicator species to the whole health of the ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Exactly. Science news right there. Yeah. I think I do love when we first start, people who haven't been out, they're focused on the hike, which is great. But after a little while, you can start to focus on the things around you, and that's the connection piece. So you're hiking, but you don't really have to watch your feet or worry about how far you're going or how fast you're going. You can look around you and see what's growing or living or all the signs of life that are around us in the forest or on the river or the lake make it pretty interesting.
You know, and one thing that I love is when I do the short hike during the week, I do kind of focus more on the cardio. And so I might, you know, pick up my pace. I might jog some of the stretches. And on the weekends, I'll do a longer, you know, 5 to 8 mile hike typically. And that's when I just kind of wander. And I just soak in and look. And, you know, you never know. You might see an old foundation for a house. You might see an old stone walls. There's so many neat stone walls along Perry Lake. And just taking the time, and that's what's so great about the trails, is that you can get out of it what you need, whether you need to push your cardio or you just want to relax and really soak in all the beauty that we have in this area.
Well, that's great, Melissa. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, I think we should hear a few words from Marcus, who is silent, who's been here silent the whole time.
I guess I'm considered the silent partner in all of this.
Yes.
But we've been married 30 years, and I'm from a little town north of here called Chicago. And growing up in Chicago, there's just this eternal glow over the city. And when Denise and I got married, we talked about where we wanted to live. And I always said I was going to live in the middle of the city or in the middle of nowhere. And so we decided we found the middle of nowhere to be the place where we wanted to settle. And we found 21 acres in Jefferson County. And it was the first time I ever saw a shooting star. And first time I'd ever had deer walk through my front yard and
turkey,
et cetera. So, it was a big life change for me. But one thing I've always known about Denise is that her ability to empower people and to motivate people is a real gift that she has, and she's been able to do that through this. This is truly what she is. She is this activity. If it wasn't a business, she'd be doing it anyway. And so I support her 100%, and I'm intrigued by how many people really respond positively to this, and I really encourage people to do the very same thing. I'm more of a guy who likes to put a motor on something.
And he has plans for a motorized kayak.
Yeah, I'm working on a motorized kayak right now, but nonetheless, I just love to see what is going on here and happening, and how lives are being transformed. I think that's fantastic. So I applaud her 100%.
Do you also go on the adventures?
No. I'm really busy person, and
You got some bone on bone knee thing going on.
Yeah, and also I enjoy motorcycling and boating, power boating and things like that. So that's more what I do. But at the same time, you know, I help out when I can, and again, just be the silent support.
Well, and I guess I would say we do our family type of outdoor adventures are catered to meeting both of our outdoor loves, which we both have motorcycles and we own a boat and we enjoy being out on the lake in that way. But without Marcus, to turn something that I like to do by myself or with small groups of people into something that's a business and the scheduling of that, I couldn't do it without his support. And sometimes it's hard and challenging to do that, but he is always there saying, yes, you got this, you can do it. And that's been really appreciated. And this would be a perfect segue to mention my other silent partner, who is Jennifer Warner, mm-hmm. who is not able to be here today. She's an occupational therapist. She's the creative director, was what I call her, because she helps me. I'm a big idea person. I'm like, yeah, we can take like 500 people down the river. It's going to be amazing. She's like, no, Denise, slow it down. So she helps me attain balance, which is appreciated.
That's great. And how did you meet her?
Jennifer and I worked together at a school. I'm a school social worker now. We worked at an alternative school almost 18 years ago. And we were both in charge of creating hands-on activities in a project-based learning environment, connecting it to environmental education. So we made up a lot of stuff that took kids outside to do hands-on projects. And we've maintained our friendship since we started doing that. Neither of us are there anymore, but that was a formative time for both of us in our friendship, just to learn how to taking high school students who are alternative in the way they perform and act in society outside and getting them to do hands-on activities and to tune in to the outdoors was challenging but very rewarding.
And was it at that time where you really noticed the connection between the outdoors and how it can help people? Because, I mean, if you grew up on a farm and you already appreciated it, you may not know that other people don't have that connection.
Yeah, I think one of the things that kept surprising me was that a lot of the kids who live in what we would call the country, you know, rural Jefferson County, they really don't go outside that much, or they kind of only go in their yard, or maybe they go hunting. Totally different thing. I feel like it's easier to connect people who are open to connecting. So some of those teenagers were hard to successfully connect, but many of them connected and really appreciated the time that they spent doing something outside. Like, I mean, kids who couldn't hammer, we would do projects, we would put together picnic tables or hike or clear a trail. They didn't know that was there, and many of them still do outdoor activities, gardening, all those things that we did at school. So it was really a good plan.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be able to do things like that when I was little, but we just really didn't have the opportunities. Maybe it's something I'll think about doing now that I'm old and decrepit.
Which is a common theme with Dirty Girls. We do serve the majority of our customers and clientele are women, and we range in age from like 20 to 75. My mom still participates in kayaking activities, and so we serve all ages, but we open it up to dirty dudes and to dirty kids and families. We have open events and we do private events, anything that will cater to the needs of the people who have the desire to come outside.
I have the privilege of saying that I do it with a dirty girl.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Well, I better hit that 7-second delay.
Could you just quickly tell people how to get in touch with you?
Our website is dirtygirladventures.net. That would be one dirty girl and lots of adventures, and we are .net, not .com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit about next week on Every Woman. We have author Tia S. Edwards, an associate professor and director of Kansas Studies at Johnson County Community College, and she'll discuss her new book, Osage Woman. And we will also have some Native women to join the conversation and discuss issues relating to the Osage tribe and the role of Native women past and present. So thanks again. You want to say goodbye, everybody?
Goodbye.
Have a great day. And go outside.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having us on the show.
Really
we appreciate sharing the vision of more people connecting with nature right here where they are. So get outside today, sit on a bench, listen to some bird song, watch a butterfly.
Or still listen to KKFI, because coming up we have Donna Wolf with Urban Connections, so a different connection there.
And thank you very much for listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.